70% of the devastation we see from wildfires caused by lightning-ignited fires. So knowing that, being aware of that, and ruling that out will change things dramatically.
What's kind of the typical plan for that prevention for utilities these days?
Three key areas of standard of care that every utility needs to pay attention to. Vegetation management, asset hardening, with situational awareness.
How can they get in front of some of those challenges to ensure that the process of implementing this more proactive approach to fire preparedness?
We want to use the weather, we want to use precipitation, ground cover. All of these things go into modeling the riskiest areas. It's not guessing. It's not walking around. It's using hard data to make these decisions and doing it very intentionally. We're seeing a lot of change in our world, and we have to be proactive and not reactive when it comes to that.
Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to Power Perspectives. I'm Kinsey Grant Baker. Want to wager a guess as to how much financial damage wildfires cause these days? For the last half century, the total was a steady roughly $1 billion per year adjusted for inflation. But now, that grand total has skyrocketed to more than $10 billion per year. And that's not accounting for the detrimental impacts of fires to infrastructure, lives, homes, communities, everything that matters. We know some of the usual suspects for this sudden surge in both wildfires and the damage they can cause: aging and faulty equipment, increasingly severe weather conditions, maintenance and vegetation control failures, an increasingly complex grid. But what we might not be talking about enough: preparedness, planning ahead, early detection, things that can prevent escalation and shorten outage response. It's more than just hardening the grid for a new reality. It's ensuring we're aiming for the best, but that we're ready for the worst. The tough reality, according to a Stanford paper out last summer, though, is that many utilities across the U.S. are not doing enough to prepare for wildfires. We've got discrepancies. Some utilities have robust mitigation programs, while others lack even basic wildfire plans or safety shutoff strategies. Utilities in western states, California, Oregon, they're ready, but many in the Southeast, Gulf Coast, and upper Midwest are lagging behind. So what can those states and utilities across the country, no matter where they are, do to flip the script? How can suppression-first thinking about wildfires change the game for grid safety, reliability, and customer outcomes? That's what we are exploring today with Sky Perry, VP of Utilities at Fire Neural Network, FNN. FNN is building tech that identifies dangerous lightning strikes with blasting currents and extreme energy capable of sparking wildfires. Sky, welcome to Power Perspectives. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. And first of all, thank you for having me today. Very excited to come and talk about a topic that is near and dear to my heart and I think is really on the minds of everyone out there. So yeah, doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad we're getting to have this conversation. You know, this is a topic that, you're right, is near and dear to many of our listeners' hearts. It's something that consumes a lot of their thinking, a lot of their, frankly, worrying and stressing about their jobs as well. So we're going to get into all of that nitty gritty and talk about what the future of wildfire mitigation really looks like for utilities. But before we do that, I would love to start by hearing, you know, kind of what got you here. If you don't mind, tell me why you decided to dedicate yourself and the work that you're doing to identifying and mitigating wildfires, the damage that they cause. What's kind of your origin story here?
Origin story comes from really two different angles that I think are important to this journey and this discussion. One, I've worked in GIS with utilities for 26 years. So I've had the opportunity, and I founded a company and have worked with many of the largest as well as many of the smallest utilities in our country. So I've seen the impact that geospatial analysis and work and the utilization of technology can do to change people's lives through prevention, through resiliency, through reliability of the grid. So that combined then with a little bit later in life, I've become a ranch owner here in Colorado. Where we have a lot of open grass, we have a lot of scrub oak, a lot of deadwood, and wildfire has just been on our minds. I've been in this at this property for almost a decade, and wildfire is top of mind. So that led me to, when I hear anything about wildfire, it could be from my county, from my utility, or from technology providers, it gets me really excited and interested because we have to do more. It certainly impacts the risk. But even locally here in the context of insurance, we've had insurance providers pulling out of Colorado in a big, big way after the Marshall Fire, which occurred back in 2021. And that has skyrocketed insurance rates, especially for things like areas like ranches. So it is very near and dear. It hits the pocketbook. It hits my worry and it hits my neighbor's worries every single day. So that's the personal perspective of why I joined up with FNN really over the last 4 years to help promote and push this technology wherever it can be used.
Yeah, I love that. I think that really, you know, centering all of this in the reality that this has real human impacts. You know, we're talking about something that has financial impacts that we will spend a good deal of this conversation, I'm sure, covering. But I want to make sure before we do that, that everybody understands that we get that so much of this is human. You know, I have friends who lost so much in the fires in LA last year. You know, we all kind of know people who have been impacted by these crazy catastrophic events. So we hear you, we see you. This is why we're having this kind of conversation. We want these things to happen, if not less frequently, less catastrophically. So before, you know, we talk some about the sort of big picture fires and how utilities are approaching them these days. Tell me just briefly, so we make sure we have all of the, you know, the moving parts correct. What does FNN do in sort of the simplest terms?
Simplest terms, and I'm sure we'll dig into it. We are the experts in lightning, which sounds kind of interesting or crazy. It's worth digging into, but we're able to detect through our hardware and software every single lightning strike that would occur across a given state, service territory, you name it. So we have that hardware and software implementations, but that's evolved into AI modeling specific to the lightning, but expanded into wildfires, because we're really here to focus on detecting lightning strikes that will ignite wildfire. And then that wildfire hazard models, the risk, as well as the spread models, taking all of that and delivering it via the our partner Esri's platform is really, really an important point, because every utility and every forestry agency utilizes Esri. So we're here to help detect which lightning strikes will induce wildfire, and then do all of the wildfire risk and modeling, as well as situational awareness around managing and mitigating those wildfires in real time.
Awesome. So situational awareness, great segue here. You know, I want to get a better understanding of the sort of situational awareness of wildfires as they pertain to utilities, electric utilities today. Get a little bit of that kind of understanding of the wildfire reality right now. Obviously, and understandably, wildfires, fires as a risk, have really kind of taken center stage for a lot of utilities in recent years. But I would love to understand your perspective on why that's happened, why it feels like this is such an important conversation, you know, today, right now.
Well, I guess first and foremost, everyone knows that our climate is changing and we're seeing more wildfires. That is foundationally why we're seeing the response from utilities change. But it certainly goes beyond that when we're talking specifically about utilities. And it dates back to a lot of changes that we've seen in the courts over the last decade, really. It dates back to the Camp Fire, which we all reference and know well, which was in California in 2018. And prior to that event, in courts, whenever a wildfire occurred, we saw utilities typically claiming act of God. This is a legal term, and it basically means we couldn't have prevented it. It happened. It was out of our control. When the Camp Fire happened, the courts ended up ruling that act of God was not an acceptable defense. And that was a foundational change in those rulings. And they said the utility in this case, specifically PG&E, it's a well-documented story, did not do enough to mitigate to do things ahead of the fire to prevent this loss. We had significant loss of life, loss of homes and structures, and major impact to California. But that drove back to the courts, where they changed the law then moving forward. The act of God is not defensible. And they defined a new concept, another legal term called standard of care. And it's about having a proactive and tangible standard of care. Tangible meaning you have to actually, it can't just be a piece of paper where you're talking about how you're going to mitigate wildfires. It has to be enacted and make a difference. Proactive meaning you have to do these things ahead of the fire. So this is now being, it's really spreading eastward across our country. We've seen more and more fires sparked every year, and we're seeing the devastation from those fires. I mentioned the Marshall wildfire here in Colorado, which was 2021, massive fire. We see the Smokehouse Creek fire, which was just 2024. PacifiCorp had the fire in 2020. They're happening and it's moving eastward. We're seeing them in the Carolinas now, Tennessee. And it turns out, really, the entire country does care about wildfire risk. It's the change in the courts, though, that drove the response from utilities as far as being more proactive. And they are now mandating things like wildfire mitigation plans and other things that utilities need to do ahead of the fire to really, and it's been a game changer, and everything else flows down from there, including the technology.
Yeah. And understanding how that mitigation comes to fruition, how we do accomplish proactive and tangible standards of care is something that's really interesting that I want to talk about. I think before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the reputational risk of all of this as well. You know, you mentioned some of these, but 2023, down power lines sparked fires in Hawaii. In 2024, a decayed utility pole fell on dry grass and sparked the largest wildfire in Texas history. You mentioned the 2018 campfire. It was the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California state history, and it was caused by a faulty hook on a PG&E transmission line. You know, all of this is frankly not good press, Sky. So tell me what it means and how utilities are kind of digesting this, you know, taking the steps that they can, obviously, to act within this new legal framework, but also to mitigate any sort of negative blowback that they might face, being that some of these wildfires are caused by utilities and by some of the mistakes that might be made in this very, very complicated and, you know, tough job of managing the power grid.
You're hitting the nail on the head. Complicated is the right word, because there's so many different aspects that come together that drive the worry and the mitigation of these wildfires. It is pretty bad press, and most of the ones that you're seeing are investor-owned utilities, IOUs, and it's impacting their stock price and their ability to pay dividends, and you're seeing massive repercussions throughout the market. You know, so like many things in large business, it comes down to dollars in a lot of ways, but if we can all do a better job, and the utilities will say this as well, if they can do a better job mitigating their financial risk, they are also protecting property and saving lives. And that resonates with, you know, anyone you talk to. So the bad press is going to happen. We can't fully prevent the ignition of wildfires. And that's something I think it's really important to say and to admit. We can't always do it. But what we need to do is to do everything we can to mitigate the impact, the devastation that could be caused by the wildfires. And if we do that, then that's the game changer. So we need to be aware that ignitions will occur, and utilities certainly are, and they need to be doing everything. And they're taking proactive steps around things that we can dig in as much as you want to, around things like vegetation management, asset hardening, two really key areas through the wildfire lens. And that's an area we work within to, you know, do what they can ahead of the fires. And that's things like you're talking about. If we're public power safety shutoffs are another one, right? If we're turning off the power, the lines can't spark a fire. If we're cutting back trees, a tree is not arcing across the lines and potentially causing a fire. If we're effectively using animal guards, a squirrel is not getting caught on fire and falling and creating the fire. So all of those things need to be done. But the awareness that ignitions will still occur and utilizing other data sources, and it turns out lightning is a really big one. While it's count-wise, it's not huge. 70% of the devastation we see from wildfires caused by lightning-ignited fires. So knowing that, being aware of that, and ruling that out will change things dramatically. If you follow the Pacific Corps fires, the Labor Day fires up in the Northwest, it's been back and forth. It was blamed on the utility, and the utility had some responsibility there, but there's also lightning strikes involved. So understanding and utilizing the technology and data really changes the way that utilities can respond. We're never going to get away from the bad press, but if you've done everything you can as a utility ahead of the fire, it changes the narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned some of the financial impacts as well, which I'm sure is a big driver for a lot of these utilities when they're considering what their standard of care should be. You know, obviously the first and most important risk is public safety, but we do have to talk about the fact that there is financial fallout when these fires happen, whether that's, you know, the cost of lawsuits, of legal damages, of, you know, the cost even of a damaged reputation that might impact your stock price. How do you see utilities sort of measuring the financial impact of fires these days?
Well, in the worst cases, and this is where an IOU has been blamed, a utility has been blamed for the fire, we're seeing the courts rule in favor of the victims. So these are the folks that have lost potential livelihood, that lost their homes, lost their businesses, as well as the insurance companies that are insuring said customers. So the worst case there, the civil courts are applying massive awards. Most of the utilities are not letting these rulings trial. But we've seen some of that occur as well, and it's backfiring to some extent because juries are awarding even larger settlements. So the risk there is huge. Camp Fire had a massive settlement, but even if we talk about these ones that are technically the smaller fires, I'll go back to the Marshall Fire here in Colorado, 1,000 homes or so, if I remember correctly. The settlement is currently stands at $690 million purely on the civil side to the victims as well as the insurance companies. So these are big dollars. that can be assessed there. You're talking about risk to reputation and things with the stock, and that's absolutely true. It's all downstream. But these massive settlements are really big, and it is an addition, and you articulated this well, in addition to the repair to their own grid and their own assets. They have to deal with that as well. So our goal is to help them in the civil court by, one, knowing the ignition cause of the fire, which drives everything. If the utility didn't cause it, they still care about the fire. And I want to be very clear about that. They always care. But knowing the cause of the ignition, again, changes the legal accountability for the fire. And the one thing we can authoritatively rule out every time is lightning. And we talk about lightning being 70% of the damage or the devastation caused by wildfires. That's a big one to rule out. Beyond that, then you're mitigating and working toward managing the fire. But it is a really important point that the dollars are big. And in the context of doing a little bit of prevention and spending a much smaller amount on prevention and defining your standard of care, utilizing technology can help prevent those massive rulings, certainly in the civil side of the courts. And that's, this policy has been guided within FNN by our board member and emergency advisor at the corporate level for FNN, who's Craig Fugate. If you don't know Craig's name, a wonderful gentleman, but he ran FEMA under Obama for 8 years. And prior to that, ran the Florida Division of Emergency Management. And he's guided a lot of the talking points I use today, even, which is really, again, if you can move towards suppression over investigation, we make a non-event. So if we know about these fires and get to them before they cause the devastation, it's a non-event. We're never talking about it. So that can mitigate the damage from the fire. And more importantly, again, and not more importantly, but also as importantly, if the fire does occur, to mitigate the risk in civil court is the other really important point, because IOUs are investor owned. We have to do this proactively. And these are massive numbers of dollars being awarded.
Yeah, absolutely. And so much of this is sort of the utility equivalent of taking your vitamins so that you don't get sick during cold season, right? You know, we want to engage in some preventative medicine to ensure that the worst outcome is not the most likely. To the extent that it exists, is there a norm across the utility industry for that sort of standard operating procedure, that standard of care with a focus on being proactive, being tangible? What's kind of the typical plan for that prevention for utilities these days, if one exists?
It does. It's not a pure formula that works in every case, because every utility is a bit different and they're located in different areas. But the likes of Craig Fugate, as well as our partner EPRI, have helped to define the three key areas of standard of care that every utility needs to pay attention to. And they are the areas I've alluded to a couple already: vegetation management, asset hardening, which are two things the utility is already doing. Veg management is the largest line item in a utility's budget on the OPEX side every single year, almost without argument from any utility. But the third one is situational awareness. So these three key spokes of the standard of care, but it's making them operational, making it tangible, which means actually having results that drive decision-making. That's really what where the tangible side comes in. So those three key areas, and we can go into each one of those or one of them if you prefer, but two are really about preventing and doing what you can in advance of the fire. And situational awareness is being aware where the fires are ignited, where they're spreading, and how we can work together with firefighting agencies, emergency preparedness folks, to ensure that we're collectively doing everything we can to, again, protect property and save lives.
Yeah, and I love digging into all three of these. I think we certainly should. I'm curious to start with the vegetation management element of all of this. This is a topic that certainly we talk about a good deal at Energy Central, because vegetation management plays a role in more than just mitigating wildfires. It's an important part of running a utility, powering the grid. And as we are seeing more extreme weather across the board, not just fires, this is an important part of ensuring you're kind of ready for anything. So why does this matter so much? How are utilities really, putting this into their strategies, their playbooks? Tell me a little bit more about this element of the sort of three-pronged approach you mentioned.
You bet. Every utility is doing veg management, large line item on the budget. And there's wonderful partners that utilities are using and that we partner with today that use AI and satellite imagery and ground surveys to drive where these veg management programs should be completed. Tree trimming, encroachment on lines, cutting back grasses. There's so many elements to it. The only really important part that matters when it goes toward the standard of care for wildfires, though, is looking at it through a wildfire lens. And so what does that really mean? It means using a wildfire hazard model, and we provide that. Some of our partners also provide that type of model. But this will take your service territory, inclusive of where your electric network exists, and we'll run a model to show you your riskiest areas. So if you know where the riskiest areas are, we want to do two things when it comes to veg management. We want to ensure that your targeted projects are going into the areas that are the riskiest. Meaning if you're going to cut dollars, and this is, the first thing that gets cut within a utility when there's budget cuts is veg management. So we need to make sure those dollars and those activities are being deployed to the riskiest areas. So doing that proactively to guide your decision-making on where to implement veg management, first and foremost. Secondarily, we need to utilize those completed veg management projects. So when they are done, we need to rerun it through the model and show that it actually, in a tangible way, mitigated the wildfire risk. If we do those two things from where FNN is showing, centralize that and expose that and document that, that's what will hold up in court when it comes to veg management. We did what we can. We did it intentionally, and we did it through a wildfire lens.
Yeah, this is a great, rich topic, for us to dig into. I think one of my biggest follow-ups with hearing this perspective that you're sharing is the importance of really good, solid modeling in getting that preventative element, but also in sort of the follow-up should an event happen. I would love to hear more about what the modeling looks like, and specifically what challenges might exist to having really good, accurate, solid modeling for utilities. How are those challenges kind of being mitigated as well? What's sort of the state of play on doing that effective modeling to ensure that it can play a positive and an impactful role in a wildfire strategy for a utility?
When it comes to veg management, and again, there are so many partners out there, vendors that do this. This is all they do. And we would consume their output of their data, but they would speak better than I would about it necessarily, but using satellite imagery and or ground surveys all the way down to, some companies are taking an ATV with a LIDAR sensor or a 360 camera to determine proactively where the vegetation is encroaching near their utility lines. So that's part of the model as far as directing where those things occur. The wildfire lens is really looking at ground conditions, historical precipitation levels. It's a lot of science that goes in. And the good part about this is all geospatial oriented. So the GIS layers that are available are all taken into account. When you look at a given utility line, even things like water features, right? Road breaks, fire breaks that have been intentionally put in, all factor into a hazard model. But it is about identifying spatially, and this is really polygon based, where your riskiest areas are. So we want to use those veg management partners who give us an authoritative data set. We want to use the weather. We want to use precipitation, ground cover. All of these things go into modeling the riskiest areas. So it's not guessing. It's not walking around and, oh, we think we need to work over there. It's using hard data to make these decisions and doing it very intentionally.
Yeah, certainly. Another big element of prevention, I imagine, let's talk about the PSPS, which I always get the order of those letters wrong. Public safety power shutoffs.
Correct.
I think yes. the acronym. This is, something that often utility customers might not be happy to hear is happening, but it could play a significant role in mitigating the kind of events that we're talking about in this conversation today. How do you see utilities successfully sort of storytelling around, hey, we got to do this. I know it's not super pleasant, but it's going to save X, Y, and Z over the long run. What does that look like when it is done effectively?
It's a really interesting topic, and we've seen it change both in public perception, but the way the utilities are utilizing, this is not a new concept, to be clear. It's been around. We didn't see it being enacted a lot because of the impact to the customers, right? Losing your electricity for half a day because of high winds. And this is all about proactively shutting down power when there's high winds that could cause potential down lines that could induce wildfire. This was the cause of the Camp Fire. That time back to, again, 2018, what changed the industry was down power lines in California. And it was a case where a PSPS would have been effective. If power had been off, those lines would have gone down and not sparked the fire. It would have changed the entire narrative. So I think the best utilities are utilizing those types of actual cases to influence public perception of a PSPS. They are important, but even just as important, and this is, it's interesting, Xcel Energy serves Colorado, and we've had a lot more public power safety shutoffs this year because they've had these incidents. They're turning off power very proactively and very consistently, which is good to protect the utility, but it is public perception's really tough around here that people don't want the power shut off and it impacts business and drives dollars on the other side. So the other really important part, and I think Xcel is doing a good job of talking about this, is that they are segmenting, at the holistic level, if you turn off an entire feeder or circuit within a utility, you're shutting down a massive number of customers. To know your riskiest areas and segmenting that grid through things like asset hardening and different deployments of automated switching, we want to be able to shut down smaller areas of the grid. So I think utilities are really embracing this aspect to know, hey, we can flip these switch and de-energize a smaller area. We're impacting less customers. And every utility is talking about this. We're starting to see it to come to fruition, but we need to see more of that. But that's a really important message when it comes to public perception, because if we're doing everything we can to not shut down massive areas of a state, that is also positive. There's nothing that's going to cure the public's opinions on losing power, because it impacts everything we do in life. But the wildfire risk has proven to be worthy of doing these things proactively. And that's the key message we have to drive home. These are important because we're protecting property and saving lives. You'll never know it. That's always the trouble, right? You never know if it worked because the fire didn't occur. We always want those non-events, though, because a non-event is better than a little bit of frustration from the public.
Totally. I mean, it's a big trust us, we know what we're doing kind of a moment for utilities, which I know can be, difficult for customers to fully understand. But you're right, the non-event is what we're after. It doesn't always translate to the best story for customers, but it is really an important point to drive home again and again. As we're having this conversation, I'm curious to hear a little bit more on maybe some of the bottlenecks, the slowdowns, the challenges for utilities that might need to adopt this refined new approach post 2018, with that focus on being proactive and tangible. What's slowing them down? What are some of the challenges there? And for specifically our audience of a lot of utility listeners themselves, how can they get in front of some of those challenges to ensure that the process of implementing this more proactive approach to fire preparedness is something that is smoother and easier?
I think the biggest bottleneck is probably education. We've seen so many wonderful vendors pop up and utilizing science, and FNN's a great example of one of those, but there's many out there. So the challenge is when there's so many vendors that are working to address this issue, it can become overwhelming for utilities, and you can get almost bogged down in that education and learning about what's available. We're seeing a lot of innovation groups within utilities explicitly formed, and I think that's amazing, innovation around utilization of new technology. And our goal at FNN is to integrate to all of the other partners out there to bring a holistic, ideally, single integrated solution for wildfire mitigation. A big part of my job is just brand awareness and getting out there to ensure that utilities know that this exists. People don't know that this authoritative lightning data exists that can rule out so many wildfires and the cause of the wildfires. And some don't know that the wildfire AI models exist to help them do, again, hazard models up front or spread models in the back end. It's really an interesting case as far as bottlenecks. If you've not seen the movie, and for any of the listeners, if you haven't watched The Lost Bus, it's top 10 on Apple TV, stars Matthew McConaughey, and it's a very dramatic presentation at the movie level of the campfire. And you're seeing a lot of the bottlenecks in there. But one of the most impactful scenes to me personally, as I watched it, was a scene where Cal Fire, who's the big fire agency throughout California, is looking at a map, a paper map, on the back of a pickup truck while screaming at the actors that are playing PG&E, the utility. And it's just because then there's almost no technology being utilized. So education on what the technology is and how to utilize it and really bring the various vendors together to create a best of breed solution. These are really big challenges, and they have to be done very thoughtfully and intentionally, and that can slow down the process. So looking for the right vendors to help guide the strategy around how to bring the right vendors in, integrate them, and deploy a solution that actually has tangible results, that's the biggest bottleneck we're seeing right now. But I do love, on the flip side, all the innovation that's going on in the industry, because it's so important, and we need that. We need to do better when it comes to preventing and managing wildfire.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of weird to say that it's an exciting space to be in, but it is when we're talking about something that can be deadly and catastrophic. But when it isn't, Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that such an incredible accomplishment, an incredible feat? When you're thinking about this future where, you know, education has improved, the technology is really there, we're using it, most importantly, there is that single integrated solution you were talking about. What does the future look like in that version for utilities managing wildfires? I mean, you mentioned before, it seems impossible. It's probably not likely that we'll never have a wildfire again. But to the extent that we can, prevent them and prevent negative, you know, fallout and that catastrophic, you know, impact from some of these fires, what does that future look like to you? Can you offer a bit of a prediction of what it might kind of, you know, how it might manifest in the utility space?
Certainly, it's always just a prediction. But, you know, with all this new technology coming about, I think in the next 5 years, certainly in the next 10, but in the next 5 years, I think across the country, awareness is going up, education's going up, as we talked about. But I guess if I had to make a bold prediction, it'd be that every utility will have some form of active and tangible wildfire mitigation technology, but also people and processes, which are just as important within their utility within the next 5 years. Whereas today, you still meet plenty of utilities, certainly in the center of the country or eastward, that don't necessarily even have a wildfire mitigation plan because they haven't needed one historically, but they have to be aware of it. The awareness is shooting through the roof. So I think we're all going to have a much better handle on this even in 5 years' time, and we'll see best of breed solutions coming to really lead the industry.
Yeah, I love that. My final kind of big question with the eye to the future. Let's say we have, you know, somebody listening in who is a manager or decision maker at a utility today, and maybe they fall into that category of people and businesses that don't have a proper mitigation plan in place yet. What would your suggestion be for a step they could take tomorrow, next week to help get that ball rolling?
That's a fantastic question. There are so many that don't have wildfire mitigation plans because they're not mandated via regulatory policy to do so. My best advice would be don't wait on your PUC, your Public Utility Commission, to come in and regulate that you have to have a wildfire mitigation plan. The smartest utilities that we're seeing today are getting way ahead of this and maybe even years ahead of it, depending on the state. But we've got utilities in Florida. You wouldn't think Florida, it's as far southeast as we can go here in the U.S. Do they care about wildfire? Well, it turns out they do. And there have been some great leaders in the industry that have taken the steps to develop a wildfire mitigation plan that has tangible and proactive utilization of technology to get ahead of the fire, to stay ahead of the storm. And these are the utilities that are taking proactive steps toward it. So if you're listening out there and you are in a state where you're not being mandated, or you think, I just don't have wildfire risk, I would encourage you to research it further. Some, again, small steps and small investments now can set the stage to prevent and mitigate your financial, civil, and impact to your community, that risk down the road. So take the steps now, be proactive, think about it, because we're seeing a lot of change in our world and we have to be proactive and not reactive when it comes to that.
Yeah, I love it. Very, very well put. And I appreciate you invoking Florida too. It's my home state. I flew in for the holidays and everything looked so, so dry and brown and not like Florida. Turns out in a drought.
and historic wildfire risk has
spiked. Yeah, you know, it's intense. You can see it, you can feel it. And I know the utilities across the country, people listening to this, and even those who are not in our audience just yet are thinking about all of this. You know, it's not an easy problem to solve, but this is certainly a ripe topic for figuring out where we go next. So Sky, thank you so much. All right, so final question for you here today, Sky. With all of this, you know, challenges, opportunities in mind that we have talked about today, tell me a little bit more about what comes next for FNN. What are you excited by? What are you feeling optimistic about? What are some of the challenges that you're really trying to solve right now? Tell me about what the next year, 5 year, 10 years looks like for FNN.
As I've gotten in, and again, my role has been to really expand FNN into utilities, which is an addition to our state, local government forestry efforts. When it comes to utilities, you know, it's a great fit. A lot of it is education and brand awareness about what we do. The wildfire space, when it comes to vendors, in a good way, is very congested, meaning there's a lot of people focusing on wildfire. So we want to continue to look to where we add the value through our AI modeling around a wildfire hazard and spread models. And we want to continue to integrate to every other great company out there. We're doing great integrations with the likes of the camera systems, the veg management systems. All of those, we can utilize that data into this single solution. But the special, you know, aspect of FNN that I think really defines why we're here to stay and play is that we have this unique lightning data. We call it HRL, or high risk lightning data, which can change the game when it comes to knowing about these fires. I mentioned earlier the 70% of wildfire devastation caused by lightning ignitions. Why is that number so big? It's big because a lot of times these lightning strikes occur in remote areas and we don't know about them. We don't want to wait until there's smoke to have to go fight these fires. Our system is deployed, the hardware and the AI side of it, across a given service territory, and we're able to detect every lightning strike, but then to downgrade that to exactly the strikes that would potentially cause a fire. So we can now go and inspect, and again, the goal being moved from investigation to suppression. If we can put that fire out when it's just, a lightning strike may smolder for days, even a week, before it ignites into smoke. So if we're looking to smoke in a lot of these cases, we're waiting too long. But if we can go out and suppress that fire when there's just a point on the ground, and this gets into confirming them with infrared or thermal imaging type of cameras, imagine that, though. We find a hot spot, we put it out before it even gets to the point where it's smoldering into smoke. We have changed the game when it comes to wildfire mitigation, and that's due to ruling out lightning. And that's a massive cause, again, 70% of wildfire devastation. So if we're able to do that, and that is what we do today, we're doing it all across the state of Florida. We're deployed into Montana, Idaho, California, Utah, and we're moving into Georgia and Texas this year with these detection systems, as well as the AI models around the lightning and the wildfire. It is a game changer. So I think we're going to see much larger adoption, much better partnership with the other wildfire vendors, and again, all toward bringing a single holistic solution to mitigate wildfire risk, which is, again, great for the dollars and the investments of the utility. But at the end of the day, if we're protecting property and saving lives, that matters to every single person you'll ever talk to, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sky, it sounds like you've got some, really exciting, interesting, sciencey, technologically savvy and really, really cool work going on at FNN. I was happy to hear more about it and hear about what that future looks like. A future where potentially 70% of wildfires don't happen is one that I think we can all get behind. So I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Power Perspectives today. As we finish out our conversation, I would love to get into what we have called the lightning round, which we might need to rename it for this conversation specifically. But this is our sort of rapid fire section to close out the conversation, learn a little bit more about you. So if you don't mind keeping your answers to just a couple words or a sentence or two, and we will have some fun. You ready?
Ready.
Awesome. Great. So number one, can you make a bold prediction about the future of the energy sector?
The bold prediction would just be within the next, 5-10 years, that every utility will know about these lightning ignitions and have them ruled out from the cause of ignition for their wildfires.
Okay. Second question for you. Do you have a recommendation for a great read or a great listen for our readers to check out to maybe stay informed or get up to date on something super interesting?
I do, and I'm going to self-plug just a little bit. One of the things I brought to FNN a number of months ago was the creation of the Fountain blog. And this is all about explaining wildfire risk, lightning ignition, the science behind it, so many important things. So if you want to learn more, go to our website, which is fireneuralnetwork.com, and sign up for this blog post. I've learned a tremendous amount about the science, and it's really interesting and drives decision-making around these topics.
All right. I dig it. Yeah, we'll toss a link in the description for this episode. And my final question for you, what is some of the best career advice that you have ever received that you would share with the rest of our listeners?
It's a very, very simple answer. As an entrepreneur and the company I founded 23 years ago is now over 330 employees worldwide. The best advice I got through that journey was to never give up. And that applies to the entrepreneurial journey for sure. But in this context of fighting wildfires, we across the vendor and the utility and really the world, as we address wildfires, we cannot give up. We've got to keep working. There is better use, and together we can make a big difference.
I love it. I absolutely love finishing our conversation with the very simple and effective never give up. So Sky, thank you so much for coming on Power Perspectives and for joining us today. I learned so much, such an interesting and rich topic. I really appreciate you bringing the insights and all of the wonderful future-oriented ideas about what this looks like for utilities moving forward. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's absolutely been my pleasure, Kenzie. Thank you for the great questions and the great dialogue today.
Of course. And thank you, as always, to all of our listeners for tuning in. We will toss some more information about Sky's work in the description of this episode, so definitely go check that out. And thank you again. We will see you next time on Power Perspectives.